Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, December 3rd, 2023, Romans.
All right, first things first, we got a whole new equipment, fantastic here, microphone, you can hear me. Of course, you could hear me if I didn't have a microphone. And today is Mr. Pizza's birthday. Chris Builder, it's his birthday today. And they make the best pizzas in the world. So happy birthday, Chris. And to let you know, in 2 weeks from today, there will be a Christmas extravaganza at Upland Bible Church. Randy and Dodie have produced a show, a Christmas show with the Grace Gospel that will be presented, and the little people, the same Sunday, 2 weeks from today, the little people will have their Christmas play. They have been working on it. That's why Debbie is not in here. She's with them and they're practicing for the Christmas play. We got some of the older little people, and then we have some of the little people. And I just know that the Christmas play will get better every single year. They'll be better this year. But pray for those kids. Out of the mouth of babes, you know, comes all kinds of things. So pray for Deb getting everything ready and those kids as they present the Grace Gospel. But this is when you can invite unbelievers to come to a church. Local churches are not designed for unbelievers. Local churches are designed for believers to assemble, to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of a local church, for believers to assemble. But this is a time, 2 weeks from today, Sunday the 17th, when you can invite your family, your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, whoever you would like to come and assemble and hear the Grace Gospel. And sometimes unbelievers will come to hear kids. They don't want to hear me. They won't come to hear me, but they will come to hear the little people put on a play. But the play is, Christmas play is to present the Grace Gospel, the true meaning of Christmas and the Grace Gospel. So this is an opportunity. This is the one time out of the year when you can bring your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, whoever you would like to come and witness the little people present their Christmas play. And Randy and Dodie have been working on this several months ago. They had us to their house and showed what they had produced. It was absolutely fantastic. Now Randy has been running some spiritual hurdles here recently. He's not able to be here for two classes. He is going to be here today for the second class. In fact, he wants to lead singing. So he will, He's having some real major spiritual hurdles that he's going through. Like Don Lebchek back here is the same way. But he wants to lead singing, and he'll be here for communion and leading singing. So it just shows again, the Randy and Dodie are the best of the best. They are winner believers that I have known for a long, long, long time. All the way back to Washington State University and Bethany Bible Church. We grew up spiritually in that church, and they are winner believers. So, and I know you're praying for Randy. Keep praying for him. He has some major tests coming up this Tuesday. So there you go. All right, that'll kind of bring you up to date. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The great chapter on the baptism of the Spirit. And I have had, since I've been teaching this, I've had several people come up to me and want to know if I am going to perform water baptism. I was, when I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, I worked at Salad Master Corporation as a janitor. I had to get a job because I was sending a card, buying cards and sending a card to Debbie every day. Every day I sent her a card telling her how wonderful I was. No. Sent her a card every single day. And it cost money, so I had to get a job so I could send this card every single day and call her. And I got a job at Salad Master Corporation, and I was supposed to come in after everybody was gone. And then I was supposed to dump all the garbage cans, the ashtrays, and clean the desks, and vacuum and all of these things. And nobody was supposed to be there when I got there. Well, I arrived one night about 11 o'clock at night, do my work, and I was back at the office of the vice president of Salad Master. And the light was on. I go, oh, he left his light on. So I opened the door, and he was working at 11 o'clock at night. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm just doing my job. I won't bother. He says, no, that's all right. Come on in. Come on in. Go ahead and do what you need to do. He says, aren't you one of the new boys, young men we hired? And you're going to seminary, right? He said, yes, sir, Dallas Theological Seminary. I said, I'm preparing for the ministry. God has given me a spiritual gift to teach his word. He said, oh, he says, yeah, he says, that's great. He says, I'm part of the, Church of Christ. He says, I am one of the big mucky mucks in the Church of... Oh, he didn't say mucky mucks. I called him that afterward. I'm in the Church of Christ. He was like one of the top people in the Church of Christ. I said, well, that's great. And I did all the dumping of the ashtrays and cleaning it out. And I knew God set this up. I always know when God opens the door to give the grace gospel. So on the way out, I stopped, I turned around, and I said, sir, do you mind if I ask you a question? What do you have to do to get to heaven? Oh, he says, believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized. What if you're not baptized? Well, then you're not saved. I go, do you remember when Christ was on the cross? He said, yes. I said, there were two criminals that were executed on each side of him. One of those criminals believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. He wasn't baptized. Nobody picked up the cross and dipped him in the lake. All he could do, you can't do anything when you're crucified, when you're nailed to a cross. You can't do one work. All you can do is place your faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what he did. And Jesus Christ told him, today you will be with me in paradise. He was never no water baptism. Just faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. When I told that to the vice president of Salamaster, he put his head down and then he looked up. He goes, nobody in our church has ever taught that. I said, well, it's because you're getting religion, but you're not getting the Word of God. It's what does the Word of God say? And I said, I'm going to tell you something, sir. If you're trusting in your water baptism to get you into heaven, you're not going to be in heaven. You're going to be in hell, the lake of fire, forever and ever and ever. And I would suggest, it's up to you, but for you to simply place your faith in Jesus Christ, he did all the work. Christ did all the work. You can't do any work. You can't add one work to faith in Jesus Christ. So if you have been trusting in your water baptism to get you into heaven, you're not saved. It's faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Christ did all the work. And you simply place your faith in his finished work on the cross. And he put his head down. I never ask people after I give the gospel, well, did you believe or not? He put his head down. I left. But I expect to see him in heaven when I get there. I expect to see him there. God opened that door for a reason. He was there at 11 o'clock at night for a reason. Because all he had, he wasn't going to heaven. He was going to go to the lake of fire, hell, forever and ever. But now he heard it's faith in the finished work of Christ. Christ did all the work. Christ did all the work for salvation. You don't add one work, not one. And we got a lot of religion, a lot of people. There are a lot of Catholics. You talk to Catholics, I've talked to a lot of Catholics. They all think they are the cat's meow. They're going to be in heaven because they're Catholic. You're not going to be in heaven because you're Catholic. And I've had people ask me, come up and ask, what do you think? Are Catholics, are they all going to be in heaven? And I said, well, I'll tell you. There will be some Catholics in heaven, and there will be lots of Catholics in hell. The issue isn't whether you're Catholic or not. Christianity is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ, entered into by faith in Him. It's not a religion. And Catholicism, you got all these people. I said, there's a few of them that simply put their faith in Jesus Christ and that He did all the work for their salvation without the religion, and they will be in heaven. But all those Catholics that have added their religion to the work of Christ, they'll be in hell. So, yes, there will be some Catholics in heaven, and there will be lots of Catholics in the lake of fire. But then that's true. There will be some Methodists in heaven, and there will be lots of Methodists in the lake of fire. There will be some Baptists in heaven, and there will be lots of Baptists in the lake of fire. You know, Pastor Breckel always said, you can get the Baptist out of the Baptist church, but you can't get the Baptist out of the Baptist. And that's about the size of it. So the grace gospel, all right? In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of Your Word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that You have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 6, let's start our corrected translation at verse 15. Therefore, what are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we are not under the Mosaic law but under grace? Meganoita, emphatically not. In fact, that is totally unthinkable. Do you not know that that one to whom you paristemi, not yield, that's a horrible word that nobody even knows what it means. Paristemi, to whom you place yourselves under authority, under orders, military term, as slaves for the purpose of obedience, you are slaves to that one whom you habitually obey. Either the sin nature resulting in death, the sin unto death, or the Lord Jesus Christ resulting in grace, righteousness, spiritual maturity. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of the sin nature as unbelievers, but you are no longer. But you have wholeheartedly obeyed that tupos didache, system of doctrine, Christian truth, in which system of doctrine, Christian truth, you were instructed. Paradidomi. It was taught to you, and for the Romans it was taught to them by the Apostle Paul. After salvation, you have an option. You can option for obedience to the mind of Christ and please the Lord Jesus Christ, or you can option for the lust patterns of the sin nature, for sin, human good and evil, and please the sin nature. At salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, we are entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. Current positional truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we, church age saints, royal family, are his body. So the Lord Jesus Christ is now our authority, not the sin nature. And therefore, we are to be subordinate to and obey the mandates of the mind of Christ, the Word of God. Ephesians 5:22-24. We are now married to Christ. So how do we please Him? By being subordinate to and obeying the mandates of the mind of Christ. In Romans 6:17, the emphasis is on the fact that after salvation, God has delivered us over to a system of doctrine as the only means of growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, to advance, the only way to advance to spiritual maturity, the only way to glorify God to the maximum. This verse looks at our former life as unbelievers in terms of slavery to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. But now our newness of life is in union with Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the authority of our life. And He has handed over to us tupas didache, a system of doctrine, through His faithful servants today in the post-canon period of the church age, the pastor-teacher. And this is the only means of spiritual growth, the only means of living the spiritual life, the only means of glorifying God. Verse 18, and having been set free from the sin nature, you became enslaved to divine righteousness. Since the Roman Christians had obeyed the tupas didache, the system of doctrine in which they were instructed, their personal experience had been one of being liberated from the sin nature and being enslaved to righteousness. In other words, they made the good decision to turn away from the sin nature with its lust pattern, with its trends of sin, human good and evil, to do what was right in God's eyes and live the spiritual life, attain spiritual maturity, and have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. Now their servitude is to the Lord Jesus Christ and not to the sin nature. At salvation, justification by faith in Christ, the believer is imputed with the righteousness from God and entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. Now he is a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ and the righteousness of God. And then we were exegeted the first sentence of verse 19. Which says, I am speaking in human terms, that is, I am using a human illustration, because of the weakness of your flesh, the sin nature. Now, in this statement, in the first sentence, Paul is taking an illustration from life in the Roman Empire. Slavery is the illustration. Slavery is not being taught in this passage. Rather, it is being used as an illustration. The Bible must be interpreted in the time in which it was written. That is eisegetics. Slavery was very common in the ancient world. In the time of the Roman Empire, everyone knew what a slave was. In fact, in every one of the local churches, there were lots of slaves that were Christians who had believed in Jesus Christ and were in those local churches. Paul is not teaching about slavery. Rather, he is teaching about the conflict between being an unbeliever under the authority of the sin nature and being a believer under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. At salvation, faith in Christ, we are freed from slavery to the sin nature positionally, and now we are slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ and the righteousness of God. And this is accomplished through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. That's our chapter, Romans chapter 6. So he says, I am speaking in human terms. That is, I am using a human illustration because of the weakness of your flesh, the sin nature. Romans 6:19 is made up of two sentences. This is the first of the two sentences. This first sentence explains why slavery is used as the illustration in this passage. In this illustration, Paul is neither condoning nor condemning slavery. He is simply using a common occurrence in the Roman Empire to illustrate a point of doctrine. As unbelievers, from physical birth to that moment of faith in Christ, we were all slaves to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. After salvation, faith in Christ, through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth, and the imputation of the righteousness of God, we are now slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ and God's righteousness. However, after salvation, we still have the sin nature. It's still in our body, and it's still trying to tempt us to sin so that he can go back and take control of our soul and enter us back into Satan's cosmic system. So after salvation, now the believer has an option. He can put himself back under slavery to the sin nature, or he can live under the new slavery, the righteousness of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. As slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ and the righteousness of God, you can make the good decision to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attain spiritual maturity. So after faith in Christ, after salvation, what? Well, now you have an option. What kind of slavery are you going to operate under? Slavery to the righteousness of God and Jesus Christ, or slavery to the sin nature? Slavery to the sin nature results in self-induced misery, warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline. Slavery to the righteousness of God and the Lord Jesus Christ results in greater grace blessing for time, greater grace blessing for eternity, and glorifies God in the angelic conflict. Slavery to the sin nature results in misery, depression, punitive suffering, disaster. However, slavery to the righteousness of God and the Lord Jesus Christ results in blessing, crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, and glorification of God. So the first sentence of verse 19, I am speaking in human terms, that is, I am using a human illustration because of the weakness of your flesh, the sin nature. Now that brings us to the second sentence of verse 19. For as you have yielded your members, and excuse me just a second, I'm using my vocal cords instead of my diaphragm down here. Pretty good stuff. It's green tea. For as you have yielded your members, that's the King James translation, and the word yield is just a poor, that's our same verb we had in verse 13, paristeme, is used twice in verse 13. It's the same one used in verse 16. It's a military term. It doesn't mean to yield. It means to place yourself under the orders, under the authority of someone. And so we have in verse 13, and stop placing your members under authority, paristeme, to the sin nature, as weapons of unrighteousness. But paristeme, put yourselves under orders, under the authority of the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's paristeme used twice there in verse 13, used again in verse 16. Don't you know that the one to whom you paristeme, place yourselves under orders, under authority, as slaves for the purpose of obedience, you are slaves to that one whom you habitually obey. Either the sin nature resulting in death, the sin unto death, or the Lord Jesus Christ resulting in grace, righteousness, and spiritual maturity. So now we have the word paristeme again here, but it's poorly translated, yielded your members. We have the post-positive conjunction gar with host bear plus the aorist active indicative of paristeme plus the accusative plural of melos with the genitive plural of the personal pronoun. The post-positive conjunction gar, this is all new up here, and I have great teachers been working with me yesterday, and I practiced. So we'll see how they did. Can you teach an old pastor new tricks? Gar. G-A-R. Gar. And they keep saying, boy, you're going to love this, Pastor Olson. You're going to love it. Big screen. Great big screen. See, look out. I can put supercalifragilisticexpialidocious on there. Got to have that. It's not a Greek or Hebrew word, but anyway. Gar is an explanatory gar and correctly translated for, and then we have the adverb host bear. H-long-O-S-P-E-R, host bear. Host bear is an adverb used as a conjunction, and it correctly translated just as. For just as, and now we have that verb, paristeme, doesn't mean yield. It's the same verb used twice in Romans 6:13, used again in Romans 6:16. It's the same word. It's a military term. And it looks like this, paristeme. P-A-R-I-S-T-long-E-M-I. Paristeme. And paristeme means to place yourself under the command of someone. It means to put yourself under the orders to someone. And here it refers to putting yourself under order to the sin nature as a slave to the sin nature. It describes your life from physical birth to salvation. You were slaves to the old sin nature as the ruler of human life. The aorist tense is constative. A constative aorist, viewing your life as an unbeliever in its entirety. The active voice, the unbeliever performs the action of putting himself under orders to the sin nature. He is a slave to the sin nature. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this from the viewpoint of reality and fact. And then we have the accusative plural of melos. M-E-L-O-S. Melos is the word members. Refers to your human body. We have with it the personal pronoun sue, your members. So we have, for just as you have put your members under orders, and then, for just as you have put your members under orders, then we have servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. So we have the accusative plural of doulos, plus the dative singular of akatharsia with the definite article, plus the conjunction chi with the dative singular of anomia with the definite article, plus a repetition, but this time the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative of anomia with a definite article. Now, first of all, we have doulos, the slavery word group in Koine Greek is made up of several words. It's made up of, this is so big, I'll try to get them all on here. Same one. First of all, in the slavery word group in Koine Greek, we have doulo. And that is D-O-U-L-E-U, long O, doulo. That's the verb, and the verb means to be a slave. And then there is a noun. That's the verb, the noun douleia. And that's D-O-U-L-E-I-A. And that's the noun, and douleia means slavery. And then there is another noun, doule. D-O-U-L-E. And doule is a female slave, and then there's the noun doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S, and that's a male slave. So we have doulo, to be a slave, the noun douleia, slavery, the noun doule, female slave, the noun doulos, male slave, and then we have an adjective. And that's what we have here, the adjective. Now, the adjective looks just like the noun, but it's not a noun, it's an adjective. So it's D-O-U-L-O-S, doulos. This is the adjective, it means slavish, servile, in slavery to something or someone. Now, we have the adjective in our verse. In fact, this adjective, doulos, is only found two times in the New Testament Scriptures. Both times, it's used right here in Romans 6, verse 19. The unbeliever is in slavery to two things. Now, in our verse, the first thing is akatharsia. That's A-K-A-T-H-A-R-S-I-A, akatharsia. One, literally, akatharsia means impurity, refuse, dirt. It was used of the contents of graves, causing ceremonial impurity. That's its literal use. Two, figuratively, it means immorality, viciousness. Three, akatharsia was used for the practice of every category of immorality. It was used for the practice of every category of immorality. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm having you turn to these passages because this is where our word, akatharsia, is found in each one of these verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But do not let immorality, that first word there, immorality, is porneia. We get our word pornography from it. This is sexual immorality specifically. So that first word, immorality, is porneia, sexual immorality, or any impurity. Impurity is akatharsia, our word. Impurity, but it's used in a context of sexual immorality or greed. But do not let porneia or akatharsia, sexual immorality or impurity or greed, even be named among you as is proper among saints. Now, turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 19. The acts or production of the sin nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, and that's porneia again. Impurity, that's our word akatharsia. And debauchery. Idolatry, and you might have the word witchcraft, it's pharmakeia, we get the word pharmacy, it's drug addiction. Hatred, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And then turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Colossians 3, 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, that's porneia once again. Impurity, this is akatharsia. Lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Then, point four. So again, point three, akatharsia was used for the practice of every category of immorality. Four, it was especially used for unnatural sexual vices. It was especially used for unnatural sexual vices such as homosexuality and lesbianism. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So it was especially used for unnatural sexual vices. Romans 1, verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity. This is our word, akatharsia. Sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. This is homosexuality and lesbianism. He explains this starting in verse 26. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones, lesbianism. And in the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another, homosexuality. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. So, it is especially used for unnatural sexual vices, especially homosexuality and lesbianism, Romans 1:24 through 27. 5. Akatharsia refers to the old sin nature's trend toward sin. The old sin nature's trend toward sin. And then the conjunction chi, the connective chi, and it introduces the second thing the unbeliever is in slavery to, and that's anomia. A-N-O-M-I-A, anomia. One, anomia means lawlessness. Lawlessness. Two, anomia refers, first of all, to mental attitude sins. Refers, first of all, to mental attitude sins. Three, these mental attitude sins then produce lawless deeds, sins of the tongue, overt sins, like crime, murder. So these mental attitude sins then produce lawless deeds, sins of the tongue, and overt sins like crime and murder, etc. 4. Anomia also refers to the lawless deeds of the sin nature's trend of evil and human good. 5. Human good and evil is lawlessness to God. And then after the word anomia, then it's repeated in a prepositional phrase. Then we have the preposition ace plus the accusative singular of anomia repeated with the definite article. Ace plus the accusative introduces the result of an action or condition. So the corrected translation is resulting in lawlessness. All right. So, sounds like this. I am speaking in human terms. I'm using a human illustration because of the weakness of your flesh, the sin nature. For just as you have put your members under orders in slavery to every category of immorality and lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, and then we have, even so now, yield your members again. So we got yield again, parhistemi, you got that now. And we'll start there. Well, we'll pick it up next time. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be the Lord's table. First Sunday of each month. There's nowhere in the Bible that says how often you should have the Lord's table. I have chosen this. That means only 12 times. Only 12 times in a year. Why? I want it to be special. And, you know, it's only 12 times a year. It should be, for those of you who have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, this is the best. This is an opportunity for you to have intensified fellowship with Jesus Christ. For the winner believer, that's fantastic. For the believer living in the cosmic system, it doesn't mean anything. And we only I set it up so it's only 12 times, 12 days out of 365, and yet still, I can't tell you how many believers it's not important enough to fulfill a mandate given by Jesus Christ. The Lord's table is a mandate. It's not an option. It's a command. So we'll take a break, and we come back, we have the Lord's table.